Thank you guys for joining us for our first episode of the new year on schools. We are trying to start the new year off on good financial footing. So we have enlisted the help of a financial consultant. Her name is Faith McLemore. She is going to help us, particularly us millennials, Zennials, and Gen Zers, get our credit life right. Because good luck trying to do anything without having good credit. Am I right, Faith?
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
Good. All right. So, Faith, I'm just going to ask you to introduce yourself. Tell me a little bit about who you are, what it is you do, and your company.
Okay, great. So my name is Faith McLemore. I am a financial consultant and also credit consultant with Credit Currency Consulting. I am partnered with a company, which is Financial Services Financial Education Services, apologies. We pretty much specialize in credit restoration and helping individuals to restore their credit and overall to improve their finances. I started with the company last year. I have recognized a lot of great results for myself, especially. I was able to help multiple people become clients and, you know, pretty much enroll them in the credit restoration program as well. And they have also been seeing some great results. Pretty much, I started out in the finance world, I would say, in about 2008. I really enjoy numbers. I started out as an accounts receivable coordinator, and then I later on branched out to accounts payables and, you know, pretty much helping with credit card management and so forth. So I've pretty much been in the finance world for a good amount of time. I just broke it into, as far as the credit aspect, pretty much for about a year and a half now. So I'm just pretty much excited, you know, to, you know, help people become more educated and, you know, learn the importance of credit and, you know, pretty much how it can help you financially, you know, have a great, you know, life when it comes to, you know, as far as budgeting and money altogether.
Man, goals, life goals.
Absolutely,
yes. But we're trying.
Yeah.
And that's why you're here to help us. So some of us, I have to say, I've been pretty fortunate in this regard. I made some early financial decisions after I graduated that kind of helped me shape my credit condition and keep it at a pretty decent level since then. And that was buying a home after I graduated college. And that helped me have pretty decent credit. And I have oogobs of student loans. So that's not to say I'm not in debt. That's just to say that you can have good credit and still have debt. Right, Faith?
Right.
Okay.
Yes, that's
so
correct.
With that in mind, yeah, so can you kind of explain how that works?
As far as student loan debt is concerned, student loan is considered good debt. So as long as your payments are made on time towards your student loans, and that's based on any type of loans that you have, credit card loans, as far as personal loans, home loans, mortgages, you pretty much want to concentrate on, you know, keeping your payments on time. But a lot of the assumption is that, okay, well, if I just keep my payments on time, you know, my credit score will stay good or my credit score will increase. And that's not entirely true. So the important thing about when it comes to your credit is knowing the five factors that determine your credit score. Okay, so the five factors that determine your credit score is 35% of your payment history. So that's like the biggest part. So 35% is your payment history, pretty much how you, you know, pay your bills on time and so forth. So that, yes, that is very important. 30%, which is factor number two, is the amount owed. So let's say if you have a credit card that $300, you want to keep your balance 30% of the overall credit limit. So for a $300 credit card, you don't want to go over $90. So a lot of times.
Can you say that again? Because I'm not good in math, and some of our listeners might not be either.
No problem. So let's say if you have a credit card that has a $300 credit limit. So some people would say, okay, I have a credit card. My credit card is $300. Oh, you know, I can, you know, make this purchase for like $100, $150. But, and they, you know, again, they could, they figure that if I, you know, make the payments on time, I'll be good. But if you go over 30% of your credit card limit, which is, let's say that will be $90 or more, it kind of shows as a risk. So it's looking like, you know, you're kind of desperate for credit or desperate, you know what I'm saying, to make purchases or so forth. They pretty much want to make sure that, okay, if we present this amount to you and, you know, we're trusting you with this amount, which means we're trusting you to be diligent and responsible. So that's like, let's say if you, you know, loan someone $500 and for them to come back and tell you, you know, listen, I only spent like $100 of the money that you gave me. Here's the rest. You would feel more comfortable with saying, okay, wow, you know, it seems like they're more, they're very responsible versus if you loan them $500 and the next thing you know, they tell you, yeah, I used the whole, you know, $500.
Right.
I'm probably going to need more. You know, it kind of makes you a little uncomfortable. So you got to kind of look at, you know, creditors that way. You know, the more that you appear to be responsible and the more that you appear to, you know, I pretty much have this under control. I could spend a little bit, pay it off. I don't need to use the whole thing. They kind of look at that as you being very responsible and very trustworthy. They know that they can trust you with even more money if it's needed. If that makes
sense. Thank you. That's a good point. Yes, absolutely. You can continue now.
Right. So that's factor number two. So factor number three is the length of your credit history. That's 15%. Okay. So 15% is the length of your credit history. So it goes by, you know, how long you establish this credit card account. Have you had the credit card account for a good, you know, 3 to 5 years or more? You know, so that pretty much means you are, you know, credible. You have a good standing with this particular account. A lot of times what people will do is like, let's say if they pay off a credit card, they'll say, okay, I'm no longer going to use this. So let me just close the account. You don't want to do that. And that will decrease your score as well. So even if you finished paying off the credit card, just keep the credit card. And even if you make like gas purchases, you know, just make a small purchase here and there so you can build up that history because that really stands out. So even though that is 15%, it's a factor of your credit score. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, it's very important. So we're pretty much at, what is that? 80%. So now 10% is your account mix. Okay. So you want to have, you know, a healthy credit mix. You want to have like maybe a credit card or two credit cards, maybe a car loan. Some type of revolving loan or open line of credit. Okay. It's good to have those type of open loans because just because you have credit cards, okay, we see that you, you know, pay pretty good when it comes to credit cards. But if you're asking us for a personal loan, we don't actually have, you know, the history of you, you know, paying, you know, a personal loan, like let's say of something like $5,000, $10,000. You know, they want to see that as well. So having a good account mix, you know, pretty much shows your credibility too. It shows that you're able to not just handle a certain account. You can handle, you know, revolving accounts as well, especially when it comes to home mortgage. That's awesome. If you have a mortgage, that's great because that's something that they definitely look at as, you know, building good credibility when it comes to your credit score. You have something that you're building equity in, which is very important. So that's also something that is highly looked upon. The last but not least is 10% is new credit. So I usually talk to customers that they have concerns and they say, you know what, I'm trying to reestablish my credit. Perhaps they're going through or went through some sort of bankruptcy or foreclosure or so forth, in which if I can stop them from filing bankruptcy, by the way, I most definitely do that. I tell people, listen, let bankruptcy be your last resort. If you're not getting your car repossessed or if you're not getting evicted from your home, you're not, you know, looking at foreclosure, let bankruptcy be your last result. For some people, it helps them a great deal, but for some people, I don't think that they necessarily need, you know, to file bankruptcy. If you're just a little over your head in paying bills, or in paying any type of, you know, monthly expenses that have like a hefty, you know, payment per month, you pretty much can either consolidate the debt or you can make arrangements, you know, to, you know, pay off the debt. We also do have a program that allows you to pay down your debt as well as restore your credit. So we're pretty much all inclusive when it comes to that. So the 10% of the new credit would call for you to perhaps, you know, apply for a secured card. So a secured card is great when it comes to helping you rebuild your credit. So that would be something that I would advise people to consider if they're looking to rebuild their credit. You want to take out maybe a new, you know, secured card. That will be an awesome start.
Okay, so let's just recap for everybody. Five factors that determine your credit score. First, 35% payment history. Secondly, 30% amounts owed. Third, 15% length of credit history. Fourth, 10% account mix. And fifth, 10% new credit.
Yes.
Got it. Correct. All right. So how about, you mentioned the last part, you mentioned people who need to restore their credit. What can we do if maybe our credit, we're not on the best of terms with Equifax, Experian, TransUnion, and we need to sort of patch things up with them? What can we do to restore our credit?
The first thing that I would suggest is to pull a free copy of your credit report. You are allowed one free credit report per year. So you can request that from each of the credit bureaus, and that way you'll be able to see what type of information is being reported on your credit. There are a lot of identity theft situations that happen. There's a lot of inaccurate information that could be reported on your credit report that you are unaware of. So that would be the first and foremost thing that I advise people to do. Pull a free copy of your credit report, obtain that from each of the bureaus, find out what your current credit score is, find out what accounts are determining, you know, and the statuses of those accounts that are determining your credit score. That's very important.
Interesting. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Anything else?
So that would definitely, yes, that would definitely be the first thing to do. Then once you do that, let's say, okay, I found out I have a 533 credit score. I have a, you know, 600 credit score, which is, you know, considered, you know, either that's very below average. So what you would want to do at that particular point in time is, you know, view those accounts again and see whether, you know, okay, is this my account? Is this a charge that I took out? Is this a card that I applied for? If they are valid accounts, it could be some situations where the accounts are marked late payment, but they have been paid or are being paid on time. What you can do is you can reach out to the creditors and you can say, listen, I see that this information has been reported against my credit report and this is not accurate. If they are not willing to make certain changes, then what I suggest at that point is that you hire a professional credit restoration company. In that way, when you hire a credit restoration company, they know the bylaws, they know the guidelines in which credit bureaus, you know, have to go by when it comes to the reporting of a consumer's credit report. Sometimes there may be
different. How much would something like that cost?
Well, there are a lot of credit restoration agencies. I have seen some charge anywhere between $1,500 or more to help a consumer to pretty much have items removed from their credit report. My company that I am partnered with, which is Financial Education Services, we only charge $89 per month. And that's pretty much.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yes. So we definitely want to make sure that we are charging affordable prices to the consumers. It's no type of contract that they will be under. You know, you're pretty much under a month-to-month type of situation. The $89 covers your credit restoration along with other services to help you improve your credit and to help you get aboard on your finances to get back on track. So, but yeah, you have to be careful when it comes to a lot of credit restoration agencies. Some only do, you know, one thing, and then, you know, some of them take a longer time based on their process. So our process pretty much helps our clients to get faster results.
Cool. All right. So let's move on because we got to get through a lot here. So next, I know you mentioned in the beginning when we talked about the five factors that determine your credit score, you mentioned secure cards. How do you build your credit with secured cards? And what are secured cards for those of us who don't know?
Okay, so pretty much secured cards are similar to credit cards. The only difference is with a secured card, you're actually putting up your money towards the card. So you are putting up, let's say, a deposit of $500 on that card. Okay, so that's $500 of your money. So when you apply for a secured card, the first thing that they're going to ask you, they may take some information from you, of course, but they don't go by your credit score. So that is a big bonus when it comes to applying for secured cards. So they don't necessarily go by your credit score because, of course, you're building your credit. So what they do is they pretty much will ask you, you know, how much money do you want to put towards on your secured card? So you could say $300. I think the minimum is like $200. So you could put like $300 towards the secured card. They receive the payment, and then they send you the secured card in the mail, which is either Visa, MasterCard logo. Whatever purchases that you make on that secured card will pretty much go as a credit, or like you're using it as a credit card per se. So there's no PIN number. There's no type of PIN number associated with it, like how it would be with a debit card. It'll be used like a actual credit card, but it will be your funds that are being used to secure it.
So you is there interest?
Yes, there are some secure cards do come with an interest. I see some secured cards come with an interest as low as maybe 11%, could be a little bit lower, 11% or higher.
So when you put, like, say you put $500 on a secured card, is the company matching that amount of money or?
No, they don't. Some of them actually do, though. So I take that back. There are some, and you just have to definitely, you know, research different type of companies that offer secure cards. Some of them will say, okay, if you deposit $200 towards the secured card and you have like six monthly on-time payments or three monthly on-time payments, we'll pretty much deposit $200 to your card or $300 to your card. So sometimes they do offer you incentives like that. There are companies that do that.
Gotcha. Okay. So that's interesting. I'd never heard of secured cards before I spoke to you. So that's something to make mental note of. And another good way, as you mentioned, to build your credit with cards without taking a huge risk.
Right. Exactly. And again, you want to make sure that whatever amount of money that you put towards that card, if it's $300 per se, you want to make sure that your purchases still do not go over, you know, $90 or 30%. Because it's going to be monitored, of course. So each time you make your payment on time,
it sounds like it's kind of a prepaid card, no? Like a prepaid debit card?
Well, I understand where you're saying that it's prepaid because you are putting money towards it. But the way that it becomes a secured card is because you're putting up your funds versus if you apply for a credit card, they're actually allotting you the money and they're basing that on your credit score versus with a secured card, they don't go by your credit score. They're allowing you to say, okay, I'm going to prove my credit worthiness. So I'm going to put up $300, you know, towards this credit card or towards this secured card. And I'm going to make payments on time. And again, once they see that, they see that you're paying you're making your payments on time. They see that you're keeping it, you know, at 30% below 30%, And that's why a lot of them sometimes do offer the incentive of saying, okay, we're going to match your $300 and we're going to add $200 to that. But you still want to be careful.
Gotcha.
Because even if they do that, don't make it seem like, okay, now that I have more money to spend, I can spend more. You still want to keep it at 30% or lower.
Okay, let's move on to the next point, renters. What can renters do to build their credit? People who don't own homes, maybe they don't even have a car, but they're just trying to get back in good financial standing.
Right. So there are programs. We offer a Credit My Rent program, which allows you to report up to 2 years of on-time monthly rent payments to quickly boost your score. So this is very advantageous for people that are renters, such as like what you said. There's a lot of people that are homeowners. So whenever they're paying their monthly mortgage on time, of course, that's being reported. But when it comes to people that are renting, you know, they don't have that incentive. So now, you know, programs have been developed and are coming into play where, again, we offer a program called Credit My Rent. So you can also, you can go back as far as 2 years. You can report 1 year. Maybe sometimes, you know, you haven't been in your apartment for 2 years, but you've been in 1 year. Or let's say if you're just now starting and you've only been in your apartment for a month, we also provide month-to-month reporting as well. So you could go back as far as 2 years or, you know, as of right now, month to month. And once you make your, yes, once you make your on-time monthly rent payment, we report that to the credit bureaus for you.
Wow.
At this time, right, at this time, the program allows you to report to just TransUnion, but we are looking to add on the other two, Experian and Equifax, very soon in the future. But it's something to pretty much help renters to get a quick boost to their credit score. So it does definitely help a lot. And it helps for a lot of people that are renting for sure. So I would definitely recommend that as well.
And I bet a lot of people have no idea it even exists because it sounds fairly new.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that old, maybe a couple of years or so.
Gotcha. Okay, so we've got factors that determine your credit score. We laid out those 5 points. We've got credit restoration for people who need to get back in good standing with our three credit reporting agencies. We've got ways to secure your credit build your credit with secured cards and credit right. My rent programs. Anything else folks can do, particularly young adults, to get on that path to building good credit in this new year?
So yes, something else that I would suggest as well is to become a co-signer on an account. So you can become a co-signer on someone's account that is more creditworthy than you, someone that has more of an established credit history. So simply if they just, let's say, apply for a card, they can put you as a co-signer, which allows you the same type of purchasing access and that credit limit as they have. The only thing about it when it comes to becoming a co-signer is that you want to make sure that, again, you're making payments on time, because that is going to boost your credit score. That's going to increase your credit score as well as the primary holder of that account. So being a co-signer is definitely something that I would recommend, but I would definitely also recommend that you are serious and that you take into consideration that it's not just your credit that, you know, that you're pretty much, you know, looking at here, that it's also the primary account holders as well. So you want to
go ahead. What did you say?
I think you just definitely want to be responsible as a co-signer. I know a lot of people, you know, they're kind of eerie when it comes to, you know, putting certain people as co-signers on their account, because if they are already, you know, in debt or anything like that, or not paying their bills on time, it makes them a little bit weary to say, okay, I'm going to trust you to be a co-signer on my account. But for someone that's just starting out and, you know, wanting to build their credit, you know, if you have, you know, a family member, a mother or father or whatever the case is, especially if you're a college student, you know, you want to, you know, start out with with building a certain type of credit account. You can be a co-signer on someone else's account, but you just have to be very, very responsible and just know that it's just not your credit that's being taken into account. It's the primary cardholders as well. So you just want to be very responsible with that.
And finally, would you suggest that for married couples who maybe are looking to build their credit standing together, or is that something maybe you don't suggest doing?
Well, definitely. I mean, if there is, you know, a situation of a married couple that want to build their credit together as a union, that's definitely something that needs to be done. But just taking into consideration that, you know, each person has their own separate credit score as they have their own separate social security number. So I would definitely, you know, advise couples, you know, married couples, especially that, you know, are looking to build their credit score so they can perhaps, you know, purchase a home or, you know, even, you know, go into business together or something like that. You definitely want to make sure both parties, you know, have good credit. If one credit is not good versus the other one is good, I mean, yeah, you can, let's say if the wife's credit is better than the husband's, yeah, you can use the wife's credit, but it gives you even more credibility and more, you know, chances of getting approved for the loan that you want if both parties have strong credit.
Well, Faith, this has been incredibly enlightening. I am feeling financially empowered. I hope all of our listeners are as well.
Great.
I want you to tell everybody where they can find you if they want to get in touch and they need to enlist your services to help them get on that path to having stronger credit.
Awesome. So you can reach me at www.creditiscurrency.com. That's the site that you can go to that will pretty much give you information in regards to our products and services, as well as other opportunities that we offer. They can also reach me either call or text at 718-208-6651. So that's www.creditiscurrency.com. Or either call or text at 718-208-6651.
And you're also on social media, correct?
Yes, I'm also on social media. That's correct. They can search me on Facebook. I am at creditiscurrency. They can find me there. And I'm also on Instagram, which is credit_currency. They can also find me there as well. And I know we have like a lot of social media gurus on here, so so definitely
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Faith. This has been incredibly enlightening. I hope you'll come back and visit us again because we could talk about good financial practices forever, and I'm sure you can too. But I just want to thank our audience for tuning in for another episode of Schooled Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Schooled Podcast, on Instagram at Schooled Podcast, and on Facebook at Schooled Podcast. Thanks, everybody. See you later.